I don't know if Weird's back from the bathroom yet or not. I haven't heard him.
Yeah.
Sneaky Weird is sneaky.
He's got a big bladder.
Yeah. Well, you know. It's that hog thing, right?
I don't want to know. So how's your Friday, Alan?
My Friday was excellent.
Excellent.
I had a damn good Friday.
Good.
I have kefir in the fridge. Actually, it's not in the fridge.
Your bacterial culture.
Yeah. My yeast and bacteria symbiotes.
Nice.
All right. This should work.
Mm-hmm.
Get my audio straightened out here.
You should do this before the air. We get on the air.
Yeah, it's more fun this way.
All right.
Well, we're waiting for Weird anyway, so what else are we going to do?
I don't know. I'll just drink my beer. Let me know when I'm needed.
Oh, well, we always need you.
Mm-hmm.
Is it beer or is it cider?
No, it's beer. It's Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. Uh-huh. I'm trying to like stretch out the ciders because they're so good.
Oh.
Yep.
All right. Well, welcome.
We've lost Weird Beard to the bathroom.
He's the bathroom monster ate him. Been trapped by the bathroom monster.
Uh-oh. Apparently the girls are taking over the IRC chat tonight.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's go ahead and get started. While we wait for Weird, I will play the cool intro music.
Dun, dun, dun.
And it's time for the score report. Friday, April 13th.
It is Friday the 13th.
It is.
Hey.
Friday the 13th.
Yeah. Anything crazy happened to you on Friday the 13th today?
Yes, but I can't talk about it.
Oh. Okay. Well, you got a bacterial culture that's right.
That was pretty
going
crazy.
Going to be ingesting shortly. Are you excited about that?
I am.
You know, thanks to me, the GI tracks of the entire gun blogger community is going clean as a whistle. Seriously. I'm spreading the word.
Not only that, if you keep spreading the little kefir things.
We'll
all have shared intestinal flora and fauna.
That's disturbing. There should be some test or something, like some sort of petri dish test to see if you're like, you know, one of the in crowd gun bloggers.
Yes. When you come to the next NRA convention, you'll need to bring a stool sample.
You're going to get swabbed. Sorry. Yeah.
And speaking of intestinal flora, I'm back.
Hello. You were in there a while. We were worried.
It was my goat didn't sit well with me.
Oh, goat. Okay.
It was delicious. It was worth it. But, man, that was awkward.
You ate goat?
Yeah.
Oh, tell me about that.
Me and the wife went to a local Indian restaurant, and mm-hmm. I was looking at the menu, and we go there regular enough that the owner's all like, oh, it's you guys. Are you going to order something different today or the same thing?
Oh, cool.
And he looked at me and said, do you like goat? And I went, yeah.
Cabrito.
We get a special, and they'd gotten a good deal on some goat.
Wait, Alan, what did you say? You said something in Spanish?
I said cabrito.
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 That's Spanish for goat?
It is a, yes.
Huh. Interesting.
It's, so how does chupacabra factor out of that?
they might eat the goats.
Yeah, doesn't chupacabra, I thought chupacabra.
Yeah, they do.
Goat sucker in Spanish.
Yeah, it might.
Oh, that's really weird.
But then again, the chupacabra originated in Puerto Rico, so they may have a slightly different variation of Spanish. Everyone's got their own speed.
My only experience with goat as a, you know, as a meat type item is we have this market in Cleveland, and it's like, you know, one of the old markets that, you know, everybody has like all the little shops have a little stall, and there's all these meat counters and like all this weird stuff. And my only experience with goat was like, you know, as a kid, we'd go to the West Side Market in Cleveland, and there'd always be a goat's head.
Nice.
You know, minus the skin, but plus eyeballs. So that was cool. Always, you know, it was like the big test of bravery to go look at the goat head. I don't know. I hear the eyeballs are good, you know, from everybody who's ever eaten eyeballs. They've told me.
What do they say about them? Because there's not really much in an eyeball.
You know, I don't know. They just are like, oh, yeah, eyeballs. They're good.
And retinas are the most nasty looking shit on earth.
I dissected a cow eyeball in high school. And we had to take out the lens. It was like a big chunk of wax or something. It was awful.
Oh, that's because it was old. When it's fresh, it's like it's like a cross between rubber and polymer. Firm. It's firm, but it has some give to it.
Seriously, not anything I would ever eat.
Yeah, I don't know, but I mean, just the.
And I've eaten testicles, and so that's pretty saying a lot.
there's not much I wouldn't try.
Eyeballs, not so much. I don't
eyeball,
know.
I if someone cooked up an eyeball and served it to me, but I just I'm not going to cross the street because I'm very skeptical because I've seen a whole lot of eyeballs in my in my travels, and it just doesn't seem like something that ooh, that looks tasty.
It's an eyeball.
I mean, usually
I can't eat whole food, like, you know, I can't eat food where it still has a head on it because it has eyeballs and it's looking at me.
Yeah, I can't eat food that's looking at me either.
Oh, you got to eat fish with the head on.
No.
Because you lose so much good meat on the head. There's a lot of good meat on the head.
Man.
It's on my to-do list this summer. I'm going to be grilling whole trout. And so it seems like trout. Oh, I love trout. You know, okay, I'll go there.
Rita,
I'm not eating the eyeballs.
Here's your reward that will get you going, is save a special moment to eat that chunk of meat that's right at the base of the skull.
Okie dokie.
It's just one of those where the fillets come up. It always gets filleted off, and it's a particularly thick and tender piece of meat.
Is it like the cheek of the fish?
Well, there's the cheeks are in the cheeks, and you need something big to really have it be worth it.
Okay.
The cheeks are, you know, the cheeks that I've always had have always been like either codfish or monkfish. Monkfish have ridiculously big cheeks because they use it to power those massive jaws.
Right.
But I mean, I've eaten a like we had a get together at a Chinese restaurant. And they brought out whole flounder.
Right.
And they were, you know, small, you know, about the size of a computer keyboard. They weren't, you know, humongous things. And I ate the cheeks out of one of them just to show off, but it was a whole lot of work for a little teeny tiny nugget of meat.
Huh.
But the on a trout, the cheek meat would be about the same size as the eyeball, and it's gonna be stuck, you know, attached to a lot of, you know, different bones above that mandibular assembly, and so it's not worth it, but. Just at the base of the skull, there's a
like
little
kind of, behind, like behind.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, essentially, since a fish is all in one big straight line,
right?
Essentially, you've got the backbone,
right?
And there's not a whole ton of meat on the, you know, on the top of the backbone because you've got all the spines and the fins and stuff. But then the spines get smaller and smaller and smaller until right before the spinal column goes into the skull. And right on top of that, right behind the little, there's kind of like a little sphere off the back of the skull, just kind of how it forms. And there's a chunk of meat. It won't be huge on a trout, but that's good meat.
Well, I will report back.
And like if you're ever at a grocery store that sells fish heads, you'll see
fish where they cut. Fish heads, roly poly fish heads.
You'll see there's a good chunk of good meat right at the back of them.
Okay.
Don't tell me you never listened to Dr. Demento.
Oh, yeah, no, I
know. Yes, okay. I'm sure.
I got to say, though, the video to that song creeps the shit out of me. Because there's one thing about being a fish head. Those fish head have been around the block a few times. They're kind of old and icky fish heads.
That was the point. I mean, by the time you take it to a movie, it's going to be pretty ripe.
Yeah, but you don't have to pay to let him in.
That's right. Hey, we got a caller.
Oh, good.
Let's see who this is.
Okay. Area code?
Area code 901.
Ooh, okay.
Hello? Caller? Hello?
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 Hello, it's Truthsayer.
Oh.
Oh, excellent.
Great.
How are you?
I can't help. Well, I'm listening to some completely unrecognized innuendo. And I mean, there's so much I feel like I'm back in grade school.
What? I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, it's nothing but meat and meat jokes and dick jokes that nobody's really laughing at.
I just had a whole lot of spicy goat come out of my butthole.
Oh, wow.
It had a little bit of sting to it. Brought some sweat to my forehead.
Nice. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
Oh, God. We're not doing jar squatter. Okay, let me just clarify for everybody. We're not doing porn or jar squatter. We're not having, like, the test on the scroll.
I saw that on your Facebook. It's the only reason I called, because there would be no jar squatter.
No.
No.
I promise.
No.
Yeah, I won't even.
So how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. I'm in the middle of doing some laundry and watching some show about a bunch of poorly integrated men that decide to go fishing for a living.
What is that?
I think it's The Deadliest Catch.
What is with that show? Everybody's talking about that show. I've never even heard of it. Like, is it a fishing show or?
Yeah, it's the crab boat's out of Dutch Harbor.
Huh.
Is it Dutch? They're out of Dutch, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, I feel for anyone whose occupation is covered by a reality show, because the entire country thinks that you're as poorly adjusted as they are.
I'll have you know that when I was doing that for a living, I was that poorly adjusted.
Yeah, anybody that goes out on a boat for that long is kind of weird.
Yeah, well, all the gun shows, too. You know, I know a lot of perfectly normal gunsmiths.
Oh, get out of town.
I sure as hell wouldn't think there are.
Well, I mean, look at it from the TV show's point of view. I mean, what fun would it be to have a show with you've been to shooting events, surely, and just, you know, think about how remarkably dull those things are to sit there and watch. I mean, even something like IDPA or action shooting or anything like that, it's like, you know, a snooze fest if you're not actually shooting. So
yeah,
I
keep thinking when someone puts something up on YouTube, I'm thinking, oh, that'll be interesting.
And
just
it's
like,
not.
Unless it's like a 3-minute clip, unless it's nice and short and to the point, I am just crawling the walls by about 3 or 4 minutes into it.
Yeah, so they got to do something to spice up the drama. So, you know.
Well, the IDPA show would be better, and, you know, all the YouTube videos would be better if they actually had more of the ribbon.
Mm.
You know, in between competitors. My old mostly because you couldn't get away with anything. I mean, you would be harassed till the end of time.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of on the mindset that the world could do with a whole lot less of reality TV.
Hey, I think Jay just came online on Skype.
Woot.
I don't believe
really?
It.
Really?
Yeah, it's what it said.
Huh.
All right, well, thanks for calling. We'll,
listen, it was my pleasure. I'm okay. going to be listening, so try not to make too much fun of me.
Cool.
By the way, you're doing laundry. Are you doing whites or colors right now?
I'm doing my hoodies, so you guess.
Okay.
That was bad.
Yeah.
I liked it, though.
Yeah. Somebody's got to be wrong.
Hey.
All right.
What the hell is that noise?
I don't know. Something's wrong.
Are the moon people speaking to me?
It could
clearly.
Be. Could be. The. I'm having.
Are you trying to get JG on the line, or?
Well,
is he still trying to figure out how to work his iPhone? I mean, is that it?
Yeah, I don't know. Let's see if we can get him.
Those iPhones are so hard to work.
Let's see if we can get him to answer.
They're not.
I mean, they got two whole buttons.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they do have two.
Nope, no Jay.
Technically. Oh well. Okay, sorry.
Let's see if I can get my phone thing working here. It's.
Hey, Weird. Do you want Kefir?
Actually, I'm kind of curious about. First up, I'm not sure.
Okay.
Because I don't really know. I mean, I know what it is because I read the Wikipedia article, but I don't know what it is on the level of the, okay, I've seen the picture that looks like a whole big pile of white fish roe. I don't understand what I do with it once I have it, and why would I want to put it inside my body?
It's like liquid yogurt. It's got all the probiotics. I'm trying to give it away. It's become like I have like this giant litter of kittens that keeps reproducing.
Breeda's become
like,
a blob.
Take some kittens.
She's a blob breeder now. And
so how fast does it grow? It
depends on how much you feed it.
Really, it's crazy.
What do you feed it?
Milk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It eats milk.
Yeah.
And if it gets really big, it eats you.
Well, thankfully, I have a phone.
I feel bad. I've gotten to the point now. Okay, here, I have to make a confession that I've gotten. You do the kefir thing every day, right? And you strain your kefir and, like, you know, you put the stuff in the refrigerator and then you add more milk to the thing. And but you have, like, the blob, right? It's gotten to the point now where I recognize individual blobs, like, as individuals. I'm like, oh, hey, there you are. You know, it's becoming crazy. So please, I'm going to send some to you and you can do like a science experiment. I don't even care. Take it.
All right. The wife might be interested in such things or she might be terrified. But,
Well, the problem Breeda has is she doesn't want to, you know, the obvious solution is when your yeast and bacteria colony gets too big, you know, divide it and throw half away or something. And Breeda doesn't want to do that.
Or just start consuming a lot more. Feed it to the cats. The cats can eat it, can't they?
The cats really like it.
Ooh, I bet they would eat the grains.
Gross.
I bet they would.
Might,
that's what you do. Is if it gets if the blob gets too big, you cut it in half.
Feed the
give
blob
it to
the cats.
That's right. And Ronan will eat a whole bunch of it, then pull out his penis.
He was doing that tonight. It's like the Friday night activity. He gets all hopped up on catnip and lays around and plays with his penis. Oh, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, come on. I mean, who doesn't do that?
That's my Friday night activity, too.
What do you think I'm doing right now?
God. Ah, oh, boys.
Okay, well, we did have a topic.
Several.
I forget.
Yeah.
Oh, Weird. Tell us about your vacation where you totally blew us off for 3 weeks.
Well, I went with, it was me and my wife and my mom and my dad, and we all got like this really bitchin' timeshare thing in there that we avoided the employees of the timeshare like the plague because they don't have souls. And And we were right outside of Colonial Williamsburg, and we spent a week there. And holy shit, what a fucking place that is.
Tell me. I've never been there.
All right, it is essentially Disneyland, except instead of being like, oh, cool, whiz-bang entertainment, it's educational. Like, it's just all the employees are in character, but not so much in character to be weird or creepy.
Wait. What kind of in character? Like, what level is it? Like, like Ren Faire character, or better than that?
No. So essentially, what happened was back in the, I think it was the 1930s. A college professor from William and Mary and John Rockefeller Jr. got together and decided to take this kind of sleepy, falling apart town and rebuild it back to the original Colonial Williamsburg, which included, like, I think there are 80 original buildings that were still floating around. And so they essentially turned an entire town into a museum. And so time's essentially frozen, more or less. I mean, there's certain activities that you'll do at different times, but... Well, I mean, there's a Civil War thing that goes on where they talk about the Civil War battles that happened in the town then. But most of the time, it's the 1760s, and the employees learn trades and they work in the shop. So you'll like go into the silversmith shop, and there'll be a bunch of people there making silver jewelry and silver wares, and they'll sit there and make stuff until someone starts asking them questions, and then they'll start talking about what they're doing and answer your questions, and then you can move on to the other place. So I mean, they've got a furniture shop in there that just makes ridiculous furniture, and shoe shops and wig shops and you name it, they've got it.
So it's like a living museum. With a living gift shop.
Did you find any 17th century sex toys? Do they make those?
No, there's no Crank of the Ancients.
Oh. Well, that's a disappointment.
I'm sure they did make those, but again, I think even if you were in actual Williamsburg and you were looking for a butt plug, you would need to look a lot harder than I did.
You'd probably have to whittle your own.
Yeah. Or get a walrus baculum from the Orient.
Or a narwhal. A narwhal.
No, ow, spike. Pointy. Pointy.
Ribbed.
I'm trying to remember if narwhals have baculums. That would be the important part.
They have a spike thing, don't they?
I would think ceramic. They had pottery and ceramic. I would think ceramic would be good.
Well, there you go. There's an option.
Oh, it needs to be made out of boneware.
Boneware.
Of course.
Get a boneware bone.
Oh, that'd God. Great.
That'd be like the best thing ever.
Giggle snort.
One of the things that I wanted to talk about was just the, you really, really get happy that you're like, I'm glad I live in my time. That the, you know, because you talk about like you go into like the taverns, and of course the taverns would be a bar and grill essentially, but then also a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
But they're like one of the biggest taverns there had like 3 rooms. But they might have like 15 people.
Yeah, you share beds.
Yeah, you share beds, or also people would roll out a bedroll on the floor.
Yep. And you also
share body lice.
Yep, that's right. Whatever critters you're playing host to get shared with everyone else. I'm sure.
And actually, they were actually saying that they had some of the original records of that, and the this particular tavern was had to have been particularly clean and upstanding because they had like multiple changes of bed linen.
Wow!
So they were probably changing the bed linen like every day.
Fancy.
Yeah. Well, which is really fancy because that was one of those, they had to have had a laundry going full time.
Oh,
yeah,
sure.
Because laundry in those days was like serious business.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You think you hate laundry now.
I hate laundry now. I can't even imagine. I couldn't hack it. I'm sorry. I would, you know, no.
Well, back then, you'd hire somebody to do it for you.
Oh, you wouldn't hire them. You'd buy them.
Anyhow. Yes.
But the Brita, you'd be interested in this. They had a beer making. There was a whole lot of beer making going on because we went to Monticello. There was a guy down in one of the kitchens making beer as well.
I suspect that back then everybody made beer.
Well, first up, I was about to tell Brita that the sad part was that like there was like a 50-50 shot when you'd make beer if it would turn into anything.
Oh,
you,
sure.
You know, they'd pop the bung on the cask and just have a look, you know, a few weeks into it and, you know, have a sniff and see if it smelled like beer or smelled like piss. Because you just...
Well, because the yeasts and stuff, they weren't...
Yeah, you'd never know if you got it right. And even if they knew about the sterile protocols...
Which they didn't.
You know, you still don't have any way to keep it clean enough to keep everything sterile enough that you're only getting the right type of yeast. So even today, where they know a little bit extra and they're going to game the system just a little bit, they still you know, get beer as wrong as often as they get it right.
The thing I always think about when I read books, like, about, you know, I read a lot of kind of historical fiction and I read a lot of history, just in, you know, kind of nonfiction stuff. I always think to myself about how the people didn't really bathe all that much. Mm. And I think, oh my God, it must have just, ugh, you know, just ick.
Oh, I'm sure people got used to their own stench.
Well, you know, I went to Europe when I was a teenager, and they really, Europe has different bathing standards than the United States.
Yes, they do.
Like, big time. And I was just always like, what the hell? Like, buy deodorant or take a damn bath. Like, what is the issue here? You know, and I always think of that when, you know, I read about history and I'm thinking, man, when do they bathe? Like, maybe once a week or?
Not even. Yeah. Once a
month. If you're lucky, once a month.
In the winter, maybe not at all.
Once a month, and daddy gets first dip.
Oh, yeah, and the youngest always gets the dirty.
That's where the don't throw the baby out with the bathwater came from.
Yeah. And then on top of that, I mean, there was the discussion of the we were at one of the taverns, and they were saying they didn't have a bathtub at the tavern, but there was one building in town that had a bathtub and probably hired it out, but. Do you really think that they, you know, do you really think that they probably just adding more hot water as it got cold?
Sure.
Yeah,
you boil up a big pot of water and you dump it in there and heat it back up again. I'm sure they didn't bother to you know, have a complete change of water, because you got to remember, tubs back then did not have drains.
This is funny, Alan, because I just found that photo of me when I was a baby, when I was in Ireland, and my dad gave me a bath, and I was in like a little like dish pan in front of the fire.
Yep.
You know, it wasn't like a bathtub or anything. I was just like in a little dish pan, which was literally the dish pan.
my first baths were in a dish pan because I was eensy weensy.
Oh, you were tiny. That's right. Yeah, I think I was. I think I was about one when we were in Ireland, and yeah. So
if you wanted a bath, lots of, you know, they had all kinds of different bathtubs, you know, they had ones that fold up and ones that, you know, so you'd set up the bathtub right in the middle of the floor. And cause you know, the house only had like one or two rooms, right? So you'd set the tub up in the middle of the room and you'd start filling it up with water, you know, bringing in buckets from the creek or wherever. And in the meantime, you'd start boiling water on the stove while you're filling up the tub. And then you once the water's boiling, you know, I guess you hope you've got enough hot water there to, you know, to raise the temperature of what's in the tub to, you know, something that's not freezing cold. And then everybody hops in and starts taking a bath. Well, not all at once, but, you know. And then when you're done, you got to get the water back out again. So you're not, you know, you're not really anxious to, you know, drain it and fill it up for everybody.
Well, no wonder nobody bathed that often because it's such a pain in the ass.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep.
Yep.
weird. Did they talk at all about the medicine in those days? Medical?
Absolutely. Especially Mrs. Weird was particularly interested about epileptics. I'm trying to remember what they were called. I'm trying to remember if she was called a pharmacist or what the person that was doing that. But she, oh, you have the falling sickness.
Oh dear.
But they didn't know a lot of things.
Well, yeah.
But they had a lot of shit figured out. I mean, like they would let you chew on willow bark or make tea from willow bark, and that would be for pain relief. They had laudanum. Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't let me have any.
Aww. Poor Weird.
You know, they actually had prescriptions back then. It wasn't mandatory, but doctors would write prescriptions.
Interesting.
Back then, but they had all sorts of interest. Like I was asking about things like wound dressing, and they were saying one of the things that they would have, like if you had like a nasty gash, there were books that recommended cobwebs. You'd ball up a cobweb and pack the wound with it. And I'm like, fuck, that would work.
Yeah. So you spend the rest of the year maybe collecting cobwebs, or?
Well, you just grab them from the corners of the house. I could imagine they're going to be fairly plentiful.
Huh.
I mean, it's not like the houses were airtight.
No.
This is true. You know, I have a request in my Gmail.
Oh.
For the phone number, because people want to call in. We haven't announced the phone number.
Oh, I thought we did.
I was told
we do
to
want
do
callers,
slow.
Correct?
Yeah, we want callers.
It's, I want to do it. I want to do it.
Okay.
Go ahead, Weird.
If
do
you'd
it.
Like to call in and join the Squirrel Report and talk to me or Alan or Weird Beard, the number is 214-530-0036.
And that was nice and slow, so the slow people can.
Yes, that's
jot it down.
214-530-0036. Derp. Actually, we got somebody trying to call in now. Let's see who it is. Hello, caller. Area code 903.
Hello. I have a cup of coffee here in desperate need of an indecent librarian.
Oh, well.
Who is this?
Jason K.
Oh, no. Hi, Jason.
How are y'all?
I'm good. You have the best accent. I love it.
Oh, it's just Piney Woods, East Texas.
Nice.
I've stuck with it all my life.
Nice. I love, you know, what's really funny is like Texas has such a diversity of accents.
That's because it's really big.
Well, I know you, I know.
I heard that.
I know. But it's cool. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Whereabouts in East Texas are you?
I am on I-45 halfway between Dallas and Houston near a little town called Fairfield.
Oh, I know where that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not much to stop at, but definitely a nice drive-through.
Nice. Well, 2013, will you be available for the NRA convention?
I really don't plan that far ahead, to be honest.
It's in Houston.
Well, let's just say yes, because it's going to be in Houston.
Mm-hmm. Well, heck, I might actually have to join them again.
Yay!
I used
no,
to
you don't
go
have
on
to.
And off with them.
You don't have to. You don't have to join to go to the convention.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I will be, don't you?
Well, whatever. You can just hang out with us. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, the convention doesn't matter. You just go hang out with the bloggers.
Right.
Yeah. Cool. Does this mean I'll actually have to blog, or can I just do like
no,
read it?
Just, you know, I'll let you know where we're at, and you can show up.
Overall, it's best you not to. Bloggers ain't right.
Oh, boy. Ain't right at all. Well, I guess
since we actually have a topic,
yes.
I was reading Weird's blog today, and about obsolete firearms, and really impressed, especially quoting Michael Bain on there. about the double-barreled defensive guns, that actually two of the guns I use for my home defense are would actually be considered obsolete.
What do you use?
My shotgun is a Stoger Coach gun.
Oh, I love those.
Stock out of the box. Yeah. I've got a butt cuff on it with some extra ammo and a Ruger Blackhawk 357.
Neither one of those is obsolete.
Well, I mean, yeah. I started my post talking about the fact that, I mean, there's no such thing as obsolete because even you get a cap and ball revolver, that'll kill someone. I mean, guns have changed a whole hell of a lot in the last few thousand years. We really haven't.
Not only that, but a cap and ball is not considered a firearm in any jurisdiction in the U.S.
I know. Isn't that fucking awesome?
Wasn't it about a year ago there was an incident at a convenience store. They were getting robbed, and somebody pulled out a cap and ball revolver and killed the robber.
I thought it was a single action cartridge revolver, but either way, it was a single action gun.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which they totally won style points, and that was actually the whole reason why I quoted Michael Bane. Is Michael Bane's a cowboy action shooter, and so he is nasty fast with a double barrel, and it's one of those things of the if you're that good and that comfortable with it, you know, who gives a shit? I mean, it's the same thing with the 1911s, really long in the tooth as far as the gun goes, but I put so many goddamn rounds through them that how am I to argue that I'd be better off with something else that I haven't handled as much?
Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, I had a guy from one of the gun boards I'm on. Logier could have pretty much afford whatever he wanted. His three carry guns that he circulated for his always gun, he had a Ruger Bearcat that he had in .22 Magnum. Then he had a Ruger Blackhawk, one of the old medium frame three screws that he had converted to .44 Special. And then if he had to go somewhere where he was in a dangerous neighborhood or something, or he was out in the woods, he had a Hamilton Bowen Custom in .500 line ball. And that sucker was a handful.
Wow.
I guess if you're going to be mugged by an elephant, that's the one to take with you.
or Lord knows if that dump truck turns out to be rabid.
Oh, man.
Well, you certainly don't have to worry about a follow-up shot, assuming you hit the target.
Especially if you get three or four of them lined up in a row.
I could tell even from that distance that Michigan payloader was foaming at the mouth.
Oh, Lordy. All right. Well, thanks for calling, Jason. We got some more people
all right.
Lined
y'all
up.
Y'all have a good
evening. All right. Thank
y'all
you.
Have a good night, Jason.
I'm looking forward to downloading this one.
All right.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
More people like lambs to slaughter.
When did I hung up on Jay?
Yeah.
What does he mean, hung up on?
We have another caller on the line, perhaps?
Yeah, we do. Mm-hmm. This is area code 971.
Not what I was expecting, but okay.
Hello, 971.
Good evening, Squirrel Report.
All right.
Good evening. Who is this?
This is Michael from Tactical Tupperware.
Woo-hoo! Good evening, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I heard allusions to there actually being a topic, but when I tried to get the stream running, it wouldn't play on my new iPad. So I've only heard you guys for the last, 10 minutes. I have no idea what you thought your topic was.
Yeah. That's because the stream uses Flash, and you're not allowed to play with that stuff.
Actually,
you know,
we
kind of have a loose topic.
Well, no, it had an Apple
here
button.
At the
it went
into
Alan's
school.
Website, so I figured it would be all iHappy.
No, the stream is a Shoutcast stream, so it'll actually, if you hit the server, there's several different links. There's one of them's an Apple link, one of them's a Real Player, one of them's kind of Windows audio.
Well, when I press
audio,
the Apple link, it plays for 10 seconds, and then it dies.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Well,
I'm blaming you.
Oh, well.
But you know what? I'm on now, so it really doesn't matter.
Nope.
Because we already learned I'm the only one who matters.
We were talking about beer in the past.
among other things.
Beer in the past?
Beer in the past.
And bathing. Beer and bathing.
Yes.
That's right.
Bathing.
Because I was going to say, I just passed some beer not too long ago, but that's probably not what you're talking about.
Well, actually, that topic's come up like on every episode so far. So,
well, obviously. I mean, look who you're dealing with. Beer?
The passing of the beer.
Oh, yeah.
Specifically with Jay.
Well, yes, there is that.
Oh, by the way, Brita, you were saying about the with the whole bacteria and things like that. I mean, the water was just so goddamn filthy that you just couldn't drink the water. That yeah, they would. I guess they said that they would reuse the grains like multiple times. They do three passes. They'd create the wort, strain it, and then add more water and create another wort, and then strain it, and then add more water and create a third wort, and they'd keep them all separated. And that third passing would be an extremely low alcohol content beer, and that would be essentially what everyone would drink, men, women, children, all the time. You'd have a glass of beer with breakfast. You'd be drinking beer in the fields.
It's the only thing that was safe.
Yeah, because
water would kill you.
Water would kill you.
So,
Don't
everybody
trust
just
water.
Kind of walk around with a buzz on all day long, or
yes,
probably if you've been drinking beer since you were able to saddle up the table, you've probably
probably
got a,
not.
You've probably got a liver that'll deflect bullets.
I just think it's all us modern humans. We've gotten so weak and everything else. We can't even handle a beer without feeling tipsy.
Hey, speak for yourself.
Well,
mister.
You got to remember, a lot of times.
Well, okay, I'm not talking about you Irish people, all right, Brita? I understand you got to have, a bottle of whiskey out of bed in the morning.
A lot of that old school beer wasn't very high in alcohol content, though. I mean, it was not.
Well, then they're doing it wrong.
They didn't know what was making the beer necessarily. I mean, they didn't have the science of, yeast, and they didn't have microscopes. They couldn't,
Yes, essentially the first cooking of the grains is what we would consider beer, and then the second cooking of the grains is a little bit weaker, and the third cooking of the grains is the beer you buy in Utah.
Makes sense. And that's why it can be served to the women and children.
Or for breakfast, so that you when you still have to go out in the fields.
Nom, 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 nom.
Yes, exactly.
There's one thing about being a manly man and tossing back a beer, but then suddenly saying, all right, now you're going to get some shit done.
Well, I
imagine that I would hope that the beer in the field calmed down by the time that the combine was popular.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, you've got to remember that people were drunk a lot back in the old days.
Well, wouldn't you be?
I mean, it was...
With the no bathing and everything?
Yeah,
it was... I'd have to be drunk.
And the cobwebs are gone?
People would, yeah,
terrible.
Be drunk all day.
So I don't know if you guys have ever thought about this, but it's like it's really easy for us to look 100 years in the past and say, "Oh my God, what were they thinking?" Mm-hmm. You ever thought about like the reverse of that? Is like, what are the things that we do now that people 100 years in the future are going to say, "Oh my God, what were they doing?"
Everything.
So glad you asked.
Well, yeah.
One of the big things that my mom and I were saying, one of the things they've got there is this is a little further in the future than the 1760s, but they had one of the first national mental hospitals in Williamsburg as well.
Interesting.
And they've got all sorts of stuff, and we were sitting there looking at they had one thing that was like a screen casket where if someone was particularly violent and crazy, they'd just put him in there and shut the lid and wait for him to calm the hell down. And just all sorts of weird Byzantine things and electroshock therapy and
nice.
Stuff like that. And they had like a copy of a a doctor's notebook and talking about, like, this guy that was obviously psychotic because he was always complaining about hearing voices and not being able to sleep and all of that. And, like, they were putting cotton balls in his ears to see if that would make the voices quieter, and that didn't work. And then they started pouring laudanum on the cotton balls, and that seemed to help a little bit.
Wow!
But one
laudanum is like an opiate, right?
It's a tincture of opium, so therefore, opium dissolved in alcohol.
Nice.
Which makes it awesome.
Extra special.
Makes it extra awesome. It's pure awesome. but one of the things that my mom and I were discussing about, we were just saying, man, I wonder. We said the exact same thing. I wonder what we're going to look back on. Me and my mom both looked at each other. We just said chemotherapy, giving people horrendous toxins.
Oh yeah,
to kill cancer cells.
Yeah, Pete, they're going to go, what the hell were you people thinking?
That's going to be the same thing of the arsenic to treat syphilis.
Yes. You know, I've seen prosthetics from that time period, and they look almost identical to the prosthetics from this time period.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the material has changed, and the material has upgraded, and you got plastics now and all sorts of stuff, but really, design-wise, same thing.
Yeah, not much difference.
Not much difference at all. I mean, they found a prosthetic...
For your type, because you're below the knee.
Yeah.
I gotta imagine above the knee ones have gone a lot further just because of just the mechanics of the joints.
You know, they've kind of upgraded the joints and stuff, but
it's mostly material science stuff though. It's not, you know, it's they're made out of like plastic and aluminum and stuff instead of wood.
Wood and bone.
But other than that, I've seen some of those from back then, and they don't look that different. I mean, other than the material they're made out of.
Yeah, it's weird.
But, I mean, again, the joint technology's got to be coming a long ways because, I mean, my dad's got horrible knees, and he's had one out, and he's biding his time before he gets the other one done. And so he's always keeping abreast with the technology, and that technology's gone a long ways. Though still, I remember when he had his first one done, he ended up getting his hands on a video of a surgery being done, and we sat down and watched that, and they were pulling framing hammers through an autoclave.
Oh my God!
Because I mean, it was there's a lot of carpentry involved. I mean, they cut dovetails. Into the femur to put the to attach the hardware.
That's terrible. It's barbaric. I mean, things like that. I would think 100 years in the future, people would see things like that and be like, "That is barbaric."
Well, I will argue with that only because when my father's knee went really, really, really bad, he was walking only with a cane. He had a handicap placard on his car. He was not getting around well at all. I don't even know how much pain he was in. He was in pain. I don't know how much pain he was admitting to. And they went in, and I mean, they cut his fucking leg off. I mean, you've got to cut above the knee and below the knee to put it on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so they essentially cut his leg off, and within a few days, when the doctor said, "All right, you can put a little bit of weight on it," So now he was walking with a walker to keep the weight evenly distributed. He was moving faster than he was before then, and he was in almost no pain.
Hmm.
It was actually scary.
That is weird.
I'm like, "Dad, you got your leg fucking cut off, and here you are."
The whole thing is making me cringe.
Around.
Yeah, it's making me cringe too. All right, we got some more callers there.
Oh, well, here's another thing.
You know?
Okay.
Oh, we're jumping.
Oh, well, no. The only other thing that I was just going to kind of add on to your medical thing was, you know, if you read like some of ambulance driver stuff, he's kind of a big fan of, you know, kind of backing off the going crazy with spinal immobilization and stuff. And he's saying that it's not as, you know, well, I don't want to speak for him, but essentially we might be overdoing it. It'll be interesting to look at, like, the emergency medicine.
Speaking as someone who has been strapped to a backboard, that fucker hurts. Let me tell you, when you got a broken back and they strap you down on that thing, it hurts like a son of a bitch.
did you break your back, Alan?
Let's not talk about that right now.
All right.
Well, it probably involved, I'm guessing, a sex swing and at least three hooks.
Let's go with that. Okay. I like that. Yeah, let's go with that. Yes.
All right. Well, thanks for calling.
All right.
Bye.
I'll listen to you in the morning.
Okay. Oh, Lordy.
More callers.
Yeah, more we callers. Got more people calling in. This one's from, let's see if I can get this one. This is area code 978. Hello.
Hi, this is Boar Patch.
Hey, Boar Patch.
Boar
awesome.
Patch!
How are you guys doing?
We are good. How are you?
I am very well, thank you, Brita. I'm calling in with the Grand Unified Field, the story of Animal Cheeks and Williamsburg.
Ooh, hey.
We used to live in Maryland back in, the Middle Ages or so, and we went down and stayed at a bed and breakfast, which was a working farm down near Williamsburg, which was totally up. And, the lady who was running it was totally Southern, and sadly, I'm born a Yankee. And so she picked me hog jowls, but they were really good.
Of course, they were made out of pig.
Of course, exactly.
Pig. Okay, go ahead.
Anyway, that's the story. It's not much of a story, I will admit, but it involves Yankees. So, hey, pity me.
Speaking of pig, they have there's shitloads of pig hanging around there. Because they smoke their own pig. And so they got like big old slabs of what we would call today country cured bacon and hams. They say the country cured bacon's not quite what we'd be used to. It's, I guess, unbelievably salty, but they did use it as a flavoring agent.
It was salty, but I did not tell her it was the finest kind because I don't think she would have got it. Reference.
Finest kind kept. It's wicked sweet.
It's wicked sweet. Yeah. So, Alan, I don't know if you're going to be able to come up to Dallas. I know it's a hike for you for the blog shoot, but we're trying to put together a group. Kevin Baker said he's going to come out.
Oh, wow. That's talk about a drive.
He's flying.
Oh,
but,
wow.
But still, if anybody.
I'd like to come.
Brita, if you came down, people would be thrilled, and you'd triple the turnout that way.
Oh. Okay.
You'd have to fly to Dallas.
Yeah, well.
But it's a week from tomorrow, so that's a little bit short notice.
Yeah. Oh,
dang it.
I read about it, and I kind of wanted to go, but I've got too many other things.
All right, well.
It cost me like $200 to drive there and back, so.
We do have some carpools that we're trying to put together from, you're down sort of by Houston, although not real close. But I just wanted to put a shout out to anyone who's listening. We're trying to get a big turnout, and it'd be great.
Cool.
Kind of the last chance for me to go and do a Texas
thing. Hey, that place you're shooting on the river there off of 20?
Uh-huh.
I've shot a lot down there when I used to live in Dallas, and I don't remember any ranges down there, but I remember a lot of places that were like, an area by the river where you could go shoot. Is this an actual range, or is it just like a place?
I think it's an actual range. U.S. citizen who blogs at Traction Control.
Ah,
he's
yes.
The one who offered. So I think it's the range that he goes to. Actually, it's pretty sad because 2 weeks ago I was out at the gun show over in Marietta, and there's a place that had all the Tannerite set up and all that, and I thought, wow, that would sure be sweet, but I don't know if they allow it. So I restrained myself, and so there's not going to be any splody stuff. But I do have a My Little Pony Rainbow Sparkle Obama target to shoot.
Woo! Oh,
keep those traditions alive.
Looks like we lost Brita.
Weird's been to the vlog shoots and knows that, you know, you have to have the,
yes, you
the
have to have the
children.
Yeah, you got to have the sacrificial stuffed animal to shoot.
Overall, I mean, the general rule is stuffed animals make lousy targets because bullets just kind of go right through them without slowing down. But when you multiply those bullets by several thousand, it does actually do the trick quite well.
I'm guessing that, you know, when somebody hits that Obama unicorn thing with a .30-06, it's going to jump quite nicely. But we'll see.
Yes.
So anyway, thanks for doing this. Thanks for getting the phone number up there.
Well, thanks for calling.
And Brita, I hope to see you at a blog shoot sometime. Like I said,
I would love that.
The burnout.
There seems to be a bunch of people that I keep missing. You know, I go to a bunch of like kind of blog events and, you know, keep missing people. It'd be nice if we could all have one big kind of blog convention someday.
We need the compound.
That would be really fun.
Yeah.
I'm getting the missus.
It'd be great
to come out with me on this one. And so that'll be nice. You know, she doesn't get to very
many
of them. But, you know, it's nice to have a turnout of the ladies.
Ooh, what was that?
He was swearing.
Wasn't me.
All right. Well, thanks for calling, Boar Patch.
Yeah, thanks. Good to hear from him.
Yeah.
Who's next?
We miss Boar Patch. We're glad he found freedom, but
yep.
It's so sad that he had to go so far away to find it.
Next, we got a caller from area code 305. And we got 301 next, so.
Okay.
Hello, caller.
Yes, hello.
What's your name?
I comment as Raddus on Weird's blog normally. But,
Raddus!
Good. I'm glad you got a chance to call in. Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah,
did I say the number slow enough for you?
You still said it way too fast.
Okay. Well.
I'm not a fast type. That's why I'm not on IRC. You know, it's
so fast over there, yeah. Got to be on the ball for IRC.
I'm just saying, I like VT because it was basically the Reader's Digest version, condensed version of the IRC, and didn't have to worry about anything.
True.
But, no, I was just saying, I have a couple things. One, I was going to send this to you a while ago, but I had a thing for Reader, my pop, and he was showing some of his friends how introducing him to firearms and stuff, but... while going to get another target and everything, I see a woman that's basically handling a Glock really bad, had a thumb right behind the slide, and thinking, hey, I said right behind it, I was thinking, what would Brita do? You know, I'm thinking, if this was a new shooter, I said, yeah, I'm getting that idea. And she was just terrified. It's just terrified. And I just said, okay, why don't you're going to hurt yourself for that. And she had a brother with her, and, I helped her out. I started with the dry firing. I said, maybe she'd get a 22. And, you know, afterwards, you know, we were leaving, and I found out from the counter guy that she was carjacked about the week before. So But the only thing is, yeah, it's just, she comes down later and hugs me and says, oh, thank you very much. You know, it's like, you know, I'm thinking, yes, this is something we should do. I'm thinking, yeah, It just popped in my head. That's all. It's just, you know, I thought you'd like to know that.
I think Brita needs to make bracelets.
What? What would Brita do?
WWBD.
That's funny. No, that's great though that you did that. Did she have like the new shooter smile at the end of the day?
Oh yeah. Well, she had the new shooter smile after the first magazine of 22 long rifle.
Awesome.
Oh, excellent.
They all do. You can't make that not happen.
Good.
Oh, yeah, I know. It was going to, because she was going to basically break her thumb. She had it right behind the fly about like a 9mm block. And
yikes.
I said, yeah, you're going to get hurt doing that. And,
yeah, that cross thumb grip, that's a self-correcting problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's you know, and she was just frightened. She had the, I don't want to do this anymore, look. You know, if they fired it once and it's too loud and it's, you know, I said, okay, I just showed her, okay, here, it's meant to be hold, it's, we did some dry firing. I showed her, he gets empty. You know, I showed her basically how to hold it and clear it, make sure it's empty and look at it and physically check the chamber and everything. And she dry fired it a couple of times. Oh, okay. She started calming down and everything. It's just much better. But,
Well, good.
But I do have, I do have my theory of why Alan changed the show.
Too much porn?
No. It's a long and involved theory. It's, you know, I was going to do a chart and everything, but
a chart.
Oh, Lord.
Yes, it is long and involved. It's basically Alan changed the show. He found out that the Dark Water was a big, well, not ratings, but very funny. Hearing the reaction, say, from Christina and others, but I think it involves Jay. And there's a couple pictures where basically it winds up as Alan's plan involves Jay becoming more involved in the gun writing thing and basically getting Jenny Ermey to watch Jar Squad on DC.
That's terrible.
Oh, Lordy.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
It goes from that to JG meets Jenny Ermey.
I would like to put a disclaimer right now. I've never seen it. I will not ever see it.
Well, I haven't either. But
no one should see it.
No one should see it.
No one.
I took a piss beside Arlie Ermey.
Did you cross the streams?
I did not cross the streams. I did not offer a sword fight. I did not say anything. I just looked straight ahead. I just heard the voice, and I kind of looked out of the corner of my eye and went, holy shit, what do I do? And it just said, just keep going. Just keep going. Don't do anything different. the little devil on my shoulder came up and said, turn over. Just turn your head, look him right in the eye, and say, choke me.
Oh.
Oh, Lordy.
I'm sitting here in wonderful Miami Gardens waiting for the extra decisions happening, but lots of fun.
Lovely.
Yeah, good luck.
All right, well, thanks for calling.
Curious Bear Magazine.
We've got we got other people lined up, so let's...
I got more stuff for Weird later.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll be here every week.
Yep.
Buy the veal.
Buy the veal.
Try the veal, whatever.
try the cod cheeks.
Okay. Wow, we got some, it's like Caller City here.
Uh-huh. But, Alan.
What?
Go ahead.
What?
I just got a text message.
That's right. We have a special listener.
Uh-huh.
Brita's mom is listening to the show.
Uh-huh. Oh, boy.
So we'll give a big shout out.
Yay,
to the Brita,
mom. Hi,
the
mom.
Mom.
Hope you're enjoying the crazy show. I'm sure you're so proud.
Yep. All right. I know who this is on the call here. It is. I know that.
Finally.
Laugh. Yeah, there he is. Hello.
Hi,
T-Bolt.
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
Yes. Finally.
I don't see anybody else here.
I should remind you that I'm a little drunk.
Oh no! Okay.
You were a little drunk last time you called in.
Also,
he's less drunk than before.
Tough and dry.
Oh. Well, you should have got the chicken then.
Well, it's been an eventful week here at Camp T-Bolt.
Okay.
I got my letter back from the state police.
And?
They said, we're not going to cash your check. We're not going to process your application.
Damn it.
Sorry, but we're not going to give you a concealed carry permit.
Is that the Maryland thing?
That's the Maryland thing.
Okay.
They figure out a way to, like, keep their 97% approval rate on their applications by not accepting any of them and processing them at all.
So they look at all of them and they figure out which ones they'll take, and then they'll take those and then just return the other ones and say, well, we're going to pretend we didn't get it.
Yeah, they got an extra 1,000 this month, and they decided that, you know, we'll send them back and say, hey, you know, we saw that case that went against us, but we also saw that stay that happened to that court order. So we're going to give you your money back, and you can reapply if you want.
Yeah, how nice.
But we're not going to accept you this time. got a big blog post on it. I think it's... Oh, I did today. Dang it. I did today.
Did you get special linking from See Uncle today?
Yeah, that helped me. I think I got like 500 extra links today because of that. But,
the Uncle Lynch.
Oh.
Yeah, they decided not to cash check, which is all right.
Well, at least they didn't take your money and then say no.
Yeah, in Massachusetts, it says right on a little drop box that you drop the envelope with your check and your application. It says you must have your application in the envelope. You must have your check in the envelope, and we will cast the check no matter what happens.
Yes, thanks for your donation.
Dad, mm-hmm. Which is surprising that they didn't cash the check, so I'm only out the $40 for the fingerprints and the $10 for the
$40 for fucking fingerprints?
And $6 for the mailing and the Notary Public I had to pay $2
for. Can't you just save all that for the next time you try to apply?
No, they need that all to be within 30 days of the application.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, because your fingerprints change that goddamn much.
What a scam.
Yeah, exactly.
And $40, what, do they engrave it on a copper plate?
No, they use those little electronic things. They put your finger in a little, like, scanner.
Oh!
So it's not even a question of somebody's, you know, some highly paid, you know, fingerprint-taking expert that rolls your finger across the paper.
That's exactly. How they fingerprint in Florida. I pay $15.
I get the electronic fingerprint for mine, too.
Anymore.
How much do they charge you?
Yeah. I have to pay for mine. Oh, God. I can't remember. It's like 50-something, maybe?
Oh, damn. Jesus. They charge you a lot? I think I paid all of like $15. For mine.
No. It was expensive here in Ohio. I can't remember how much it was, but it was like 50-some bucks, I think.
What both of you are trying to say is it's not expensive in Ohio or Maryland. It's punitively expensive.
I think, is that the fingerprint equivalent of the e-books more expensive than the Dead Tree versions on Amazon?
It could be. That's true.
Oh, yes. We've got this machine we got to pay for now.
Exactly. Well, actually, it's a quasi-government organization. It's like a security agency. People like send out private investigators or special guards to various things. There's like 40 of them across the state that you can go to, and they will do the fingerprinting for you for a small fee, and they will do this electronic fingerprint thing and submit it to the state for you, rather than doing the paper that they used to do as of March 1st, I think, is when they stopped accepting the actual paper, FBI style, roll your finger on the little piece of paper type of thing. Which is what I did for my passport. And that was no problem, but that was like 2 years ago.
I'm trying to remember what they charged me for. I had to do, we have both the electronic fingerprints and the, we now have the electronic fingerprints, but the town that I first moved to in Massachusetts, Medford, held back for the longest time until they were forced to go. So I had the old laminated card, fully analog with my photograph pressed onto the card and then laminated onto it, so that it felt like I had like $150 in ones in my wallet all the time. and they required the get your hands dirty ink fingerprint cards. But I think I'm trying to think. I think they only charged me like 20 some bucks. I was outraged enough by what I was going through that it was unremarkable what they did with the fingerprints. But $50 for a fingerprint scan is bullshit.
This is a new thing in Maryland. They only did this very recently. They require it to be electronic fingerprints
for a service they're not going to provide.
Exactly. But, you know, if I was, like, applying for, like, a security guard position where I could get an actual, like, pistol on my belt type of thing, then this is also what I would have to do. I mean, everybody has to go through this, even the ones that are going to get a carry permit.
Wow.
That actually reminds me of the I don't know if it's the Philadelphia police or the Pennsylvania State Police will no longer fingerprint you for anything but Pennsylvania mandated equipment, because Philadelphia's got their bullshit and totally illegal system where if you have a speeding ticket or something like that going through, they'll deny you your carry permit.
My soft phone just crashed. We lost T-Bolt. Sorry.
Oh, no.
Oh, well.
Oh, no.
But as I was saying, but what was happening was, even though the Pennsylvania carry permit is one of the lesser restrictive carry permits, still it's May issue in Philadelphia, so people would get the Florida permit, which is recognized in Pennsylvania.
Right.
And so they just simply said, well, if you're going to ship the fingerprints out of state, we're not going to do anything with them. We're not going to take them for you. We're going to take our ball and go home.
Yeah, it's I hate it when they start colluding to deny you your civil rights.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that ought to, like, be jail time there. I'm sorry.
Oh, in Pennsylvania, it should be jail time because it's illegal.
Yeah.
I mean, the Philadelphia's carry permit thing is 100% right. Illegal because you're not allowed to do anything different than, I mean, there's not allowed to be municipal orders.
That's why I like what Florida did, where they passed that law that said the politicians who pass laws that violate the state law are personally liable.
Yep.
And oh, the scrambling to.
I mean, that should be an across the board thing.
Yeah, it really should be.
Because you have all, you know, ever so often these laws that just get presented that are just across the board illegal.
I'm not a big fan of qualified immunity in any case.
No.
I don't think just because you work for the government, you ought to be, you need to be. You know,
fuck that. If you work for the government, you should know your shit.
Well, not only that, you should be held to a higher standard.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I don't care if you're a cop or a functionary or a flunky in an agency somewhere. You know, you're using taxpayer. You're getting paid by the taxpayers to do your job, and if you fuck it up, you ought to be held to a higher standard. I'm sorry.
And by higher standard, he means by the nearest lamppost.
Yeah, that would help.
You know, I keep seeing this thing around the internet, and it's civics lessons with Rachel Maddow. And one of her famous quotes is, "Here's the thing about rights. They're not supposed to be voted on. That's why they call them rights." And I just find this hilarious because this is from Rachel Maddow, who would probably outright ban guns.
Oh yeah,
again,
Rachel Maddow.
Yeah, for Rachel, of course she goes under the Bloomberg imaginary law, you know, thing that a majority of gun owners support such and such gun control thing that was, you know, just there's entirely fabricated, but. So she's like, well, I mean, you know, most people don't follow this. It's one of those, hey, Rachel, most people really don't much care for lesbians living lives like normal people.
But yeah, if we're going to go what most people don't care for, you know.
But again, progressives only care about the rights that they use.
Yep. Well, yeah. You know. And even that is subject to change, at, you know, as required.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, we got another call. I'm sorry, I lost T-Bolt. That, if he's listening and wants to call back, we'll certainly take him. But the soft phone client thing that I use crashed right in the middle of his call. So.
Aw.
I know. So sad.
Who's the next caller?
I don't know. It's area code 703.
Okay, it's not my mom.
Let's see who it is. Area code 703, you're on the air.
That would be me.
Who's me?
Hello.
This is JB Miller.
Okay.
Hey, how are you?
Good, good.
Excellent.
It's interesting. The audio on its phone side is really funky, listening to the other callers as they call in.
Do you think I sound pretty?
What do you mean?
Yeah, they sound like Cylons. I'm sure they're Cylons.
Oh. Yeah, that's the Shoutcast stream playing over the PBX. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
And it's getting compressed. Yeah, it's getting compressed all to hell by the phone company. And
say dithering, Alan. Say dithering.
I just got to say, listening to T-Bolt and his voice is being mutilated is highly amusing. So that made it all worth it. So anyway, I've been listening to you guys talking about fingerprints. I ended up getting my fingerprints taken a lot, you know, because I do a lot of suppressors, you know, that every time you go and get another suppressor, you have to go in and get your fingerprints and send them cards in again. And here in Virginia, where I live, they're very supportive of Class 3 firearms and devices. And the county sheriff is required to sign off on every one that comes through. I mean, it's just pro forma. He'll sign any of them just as long as you pass your background check. But you know, I've gotten four of them now. So over the years, the process down there to get your fingerprints done is completely different. It used to be one of the sheriff's deputies actually fingerprinted you with the ink on the 10 cards and had to do two 10 cards for you and everything. Took forever. God only knows how much it cost the county to actually support that. Now with the new digital systems, they just have, you know, it's like some teenage girl that runs the fingerprint scanner thing. You just put your hand in there and, you know, it beeps once it gets a good scan and it spits out a 10 card. It looks like you rolled your fingers like old school on them like they were before. So it's a lot better.
Do they scan all your fingers?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. You know, my mom, who is still listening.
Hi, Rita's mom.
Yay. Okay. My mom just got her concealed carry, and they did.
What?
Did Brita pop?
Uh-oh. Did we lose Brita?
Her fingerprints.
Ah, there she is.
What is going on with your thing?
I think we lost you for a second.
It's haunted.
Oh, Alan, there's something wrong.
It's not me. It was Skype. That was Skype because I could still hear weird, so it wasn't me. That was something Skype did with you.
What was the last thing I said?
Something about it. She was getting her fingerprints done.
Yeah.
My mom. Yeah. Wow. Alan, you're fast. Very quick. No, my mom got her fingerprints done for concealed carry, and they couldn't read her fingerprints.
She been sanding them down?
No.
I hear a lot of felons do that.
No. I don't know. They said that people who work a lot with their hands or type a lot, like, wear down their fingerprints.
Oh.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, they do change over time.
Mm-hmm.
It's,
in 30 days?
I can see that.
Yeah,
you know, just imagine
days.
Scarring just in general, you know.
I'm going to get some sandpaper.
Okay.
Or just masturbate.
Yeah, I wonder how long it'll be before they use some other biometric for that, you know. Here, put a little DNA on this card. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah, it'll be DNA before too
like
long.
Like the Hunger Games.
You know, as soon as they can, as soon as they get, you know, a DNA checker thingy that can do it like
real time,
yeah, like instantaneously, which
yeah
is,
like the movie Gattaca.
Well, it's not that far off. I mean, come on, they got DNA sequencing down to a few hours now, so I mean Moore's law is going to take care of that in a year or two.
Yeah, well, hopefully before that happens, you know, they'll just, you know, make it so you can buy suppressors down at the local hardware store again.
Yeah.
Well, they're starting to be mainstream. You know, a lot of states are passing laws saying you can hunt with them now. I mean, Texas just did. A lot of Oklahoma just did. There's lots of states that have that are saying it's okay to hunt game animals with suppressors now, which is awesome. I mean,
that whole suppressors are legal thing.
You know, yeah, okay. You know, somebody said, oh, yeah, NRA hates NFA, don't they? And I was like, you know what? You know, first place, I don't see the NRA trying to get suppressors off the NFA list. And second, this is all, you know, at the state level. this is all, you know, I know that the, I know here in Texas, the TSRA had a lot to do with the suppressor thing, but, you know, I mean, yay, you can hunt with suppressors. Now, how are you going to buy one?
Yeah.
You know,
and I think the thing that's going to turn it around for suppressors is when I think more and more people are actually being convinced that it's really a safety issue.
Of course it is.
I mean, we put mufflers on cars because cars
Absolutely.
Are loud. So why mm-hmm. not? We have the technology to make them quiet.
Right.
I mean, just think how much better your experience at the range would be if everybody had.
Well, the whole strategy for putting suppressors on the NFA list anyway, other than, you know, guns bad, ooh, which probably had a lot to do with it, was that whole poaching thing. That was the big argument at the time when they passed it.
Right.
Oh, it was about poaching.
Yes.
Huh.
Because they,
I thought it was connected
yeah,
to,
super
like,
super easy to poach,
you know,
with silencers.
The mob in
nope.
the
30s
nope. or
nope.
something.
Nope. Well, we huh. okay.
So it was all about the NFA went down during the Great Depression and people were starving.
Yep.
And the park services were terrified that hungry people were going to go get food to eat.
It was all about the poaching. At least that's the history that we have. I mean,
of course, when you read about poaching down in that level, most of the poachers did it with 22 rifles, which you shoot a subsonic 22, and I think they were all subsonic back then.
Yeah, you're not
subsonic
22
out of a rifle. That's the same as shooting even a centerfire cartridge out of a can.
Yeah, it's
right.
It's they're quiet anyway. You know.
Oh yeah, if I'm shooting a 22 rifle just on my own and there's nobody, I'm not worried about someone stepping up beside me with an AR. I don't even bother wearing ear protection. It's not loud.
Well, on a 22 out of a rifle, like a, you know, like a Marlin 39A or something like that, or a 10/22, the supersonic crack of the bullet is actually louder than the firing of the bullet.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting because I have a rifle that's 10/22 that's suppressed, and it's interesting that the bullet doesn't get a supersonic crack until it like flies like 100 yards maybe. If you shoot at close targets and they go into a berm or something like that, you never hear the supersonic crack until it gets enough air time that somehow or another, then you get the crack. It's really interesting.
That's weird.
We were shooting one of Wally's cans with a it was a belt fed 22 upper on an M16. So that was fucking awesome.
Wow.
And it was actually neat as we were. No air protection, and the supersonics were feeding better, so you were hearing the supersonic crack, but yeah, you were hearing it downrange, and you're hearing a Doppler effect.
Oh
right.
Yeah, you hear it go. Pew.
Yeah, and it sounds like somebody fired a 22 100 yards away from you.
Or really, it
anyway.
Sounds like someone's way down the way snapping like a clothesline or something. Just get that weird
or cracking
harmonic
a whip.
Vibration. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks for calling.
Okay.
Woo-hoo. Good to hear from you.
By the way, hey, how many listeners?
Talk to you later.
Last time I checked, we peaked at 27.
Woohoo!
So,
excellent.
I don't know how many we have now. We had another topic. Actually, we had two things. Let's talk about one thing. Let's talk about the header thing real quick. You want to talk about that, Brita? Since you're
yeah. the squirrelreport.com, which is not squirrelreport.com, but sqrpt.com.
Yes, one of the few 5-letter domains that I'm
still exists.
Surprised I snagged that. By the way,
yeah. The squirrelreport.com is boring.
Yes.
If you go to the blog and Alan posts, you know, the show every week, and you go to it and it's just generic and boring. And we need a header. at the top of the blog.
Yes, we do. Now, we did have, if you get this via iTunes, you will see the album art. Gudis from IRC.
Yes.
Did a really awesome, you know, squirrel with a little, like, antenna sticking out of his head.
That is really cool.
That
I know. I call it the squirrelicorn because it looks like a unicorn squirrel.
Yeah, but
Nar squirrel.
Nar squirrel. Yes.
Nar squirrel. that's a square graphic, and it really doesn't fit the header. The header needs to be 1024 pixels wide at this point.
Right.
So I don't know about depth, but it's not that. I think that's
the squirrelicorn is great for iTunes.
Yep.
And actually, it's also the link on my blog, right? Yeah, when I post on Facebook, a link to the squirrel report, that's what comes up, and it's perfect.
Right. Yep.
But we need a header, so we're thinking of having a contest. Although it's kind of like I haven't figured out what the prize would be.
The prize is your header gets to be on the squirrel report.
Yay! You can say, hey, my header's on the squirrel report. I don't know. I might send you, like, you know, I don't know, something.
You get to say hi to Bree.
An autographed something or another. I don't know. But I don't know why anybody would want that. It's so ridiculous to even think
about. I want an autograph something or other.
Yeah. I bet you could probably sell autograph something or others.
Okay. Moving on. Anyway, we need a header. So if you have a header or would like to make a header, email them to Alan. And Alan, what's your email?
You can submit it at the blog, on the comment thing, or you can just email it to me. It's alan@snarkybites.com.
Excellent. This will be fun. So an autograph, something or another, and your header on the blog. And, I think it'd be fun. And even if we get more than one, that is really cool. We can rotate them because you can do that, right?
Sure. Okay. Yeah, they can. Yeah, we can. They can. I can set it up so it rotates them through. That's easy.
Nice, excellent.
Good, because Breed and I don't know how to do that.
No, I don't know. I just leave all that stuff to Alan because I no clue. I just show up every week, unlike some people.
Yeah.
I like Apple Macintosh computers, and I'm a pretty girl, and I wear ribbons in my hair, and I want to kiss all the boys.
Okay, there you go. That will suffice for now.
The Rita is somewhat mollified.
I want to get into this one.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I preface it?
Yes. Go
please,
ahead.
Please, please.
Since you are the closest thing to an art expert that we have.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Thomas Kincaid was a really great painter. I'm saying that with a completely straight face. His skills, his painting skills, his knowledge of light and color, excellent. He was a very skilled painter. But he sold himself out. And there is the tragedy.
And he was also a drunk asshole.
I think he was an asshole to begin with, but that's not unusual with artists. Yeah. But I think the drunkenness kind of exacerbated the problem.
Yep.
Yeah.
And now he's dead.
And at age of 54.
I promise you... they will still keep churning out those paintings.
Yeah, of course they will. You know, it's really funny, Alan, because, you know, you've been going on and on about Thomas Kincaid for like a week now.
Yes.
And I have been holding this in my back pocket that I was going to...
Oh, no.
That I was going to be like, Thomas Kincaid is a great painter. He was a terrific painter. But
I gotta say, my first introduction to Thomas Kincaid was a close friend of mine who's... to this day, still a professional artist. Mm-hmm. And he was at the time he was working at the at the framing store in the mall.
This was my life. What? I worked at that job too.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah. So a lot of artists do.
Yes, we did. Yeah. A lot like of painters.
Like all artists, he was tragically underemployed. Uh-huh. But the so there was scads of Thomas Kincaid prints in there. And yeah. they had the calendars and things like that. He picked up one of the calendars. He said, "Weird, check this out. Every single one of Thomas Kincaid's paintings is a terrible house fire that's just started." And he'd be like, flip it over, and you just see like this, you'd see this cabin out in the snowy woods. And you would see the windows, and there'd be this blaze orange light coming out of the windows. And it's just one of those, oh my God, the entire living room is ablaze. And he even pointed out, like, at some point, there'd be a little bit of steam rising from the roof line as the attic was starting to get involved. And all that. He's like, "Listen, shh, just stop for a second. You could almost hear the children pounding on the doors trying to get out." And that is the only thing I can think of every time I see a Thomas Kincaid painting, is hearing the agonizing screams as the children are burned to death and overcome with smoke inhalation.
Holy, you know, crap. I worked at that gallery. I worked at those galleries. You know,
you worked at one of his galleries?
Not one of Thomas Kincaid's galleries, but it was a
framing store?
Framing gallery thing. And we were allowed to sell Kincaids, and my job, I did a lot of I did framing, but also I did like kind of shipping receiving type stuff. And part of my job was unpacking the Kincaids when they came in. And honest to God, they were like the biggest load of junk. Mm-hmm. That I have ever seen. I mean, the frames were falling apart, and the prints were all creased, and I had to touch things up with actual paint. Like, you know, I wanted to say to the people, you know, when they were getting their Kincaids, I wanted to say, you know, this Kincaid was touched by an actual artist.
Not only that, but you probably put more paint on it than Kincaid did.
Yeah. You know, I had to touch things up a lot and put frames together a lot. And
did
it was
you pee
like,
on any of them?
No, I didn't. No,
that would
like,
have been fitting.
Crap. Oh, please talk
this
about
is for you, tea. Tommy.
Please talk about it.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's
Thomas
famous.
Kincaid was an alcoholic, and he peed on Winnie the Pooh.
Well, it sounds like actually he openly admits to be quote unquote. Ritualistic territory marking, which
nice.
I must say during the times of my life when I was doing copious amounts of drinking at copious amounts of times, I found that I would look for any excuse to relieve myself as well. And if I could make it into art, that'd be fine. As a matter of fact, eek. I believe under Thomas Kincaid standards, I own almost every building on the University of Maine campus.
Nice. Good for you. Wow, you were industrious.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I don't know. You know, I'm not an art person, so I can't really speak to his quality as a painter or anything like that. Mm-hmm. All I know is I don't like his paintings.
No.
But yeah. But my big beef with Kincaid, and actually I've not liked him for a long, long time, is because he preys on the stupid. His whole business model is based on fooling the gullible into thinking they're getting something of value when they're not.
I am shocked at your response to this. Are you like suddenly feeling sentimental or something?
No,
or,
I just don't
and
like people.
Kind-hearted?
I just don't like people that commit fraud. I mean, I know
it's not fraud. I mean, he's very upfront about what you're buying. You're buying a print.
Yeah, but you know what? You go into a gallery, right? That's what the store is called, a gallery.
Yes.
And they've got all these things in frames, and they're spotlit, and you know, they've got, you know, some of them are priced insanely, and they're you know, printed on canvas, and some of them look like they were actually painted by somebody, and they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it is quite possible, if you are ignorant, to go into one of those and come out thinking you spent $400 or $500 on a real painting.
Okay.
And you didn't.
No. Well, you know what? Life is hard. It's even harder when you're stupid.
You know, I mean, let's look at it. You know, I look at him the same way I do used car salesmen, right? You know, they got a perfect right to do it. I don't have to like it.
Okay.
I don't like the way they do business, and you know, but you know, he's got a right to do it. So
okay.
He did get some. I didn't quite get the full extent of it, but there was. He was constantly in battle with legal problems.
Oh, yeah. He had people suing him right and left all the time. Because, you know, he had shady business practices, and, you know, I mean, it was not unusual for the people that owned his galleries to sue him for various reasons. So, yeah. I mean, not a nice guy from all reports.
Yeah.
But, you know, my big objection to him is pretty much his business practices. And, I
also, I've got to dive into it, too, when I see about, again, I've got, I'm not a person of faith, but I've got absolutely no issue with people of faith. And overall, I think that it does a whole lot more good than harm, and God bless you, dress you, and shave you. But I gotta say, there's always something that leaves a bad taste in my mouth when you hear about the raging alcoholic or the raging coke addict or all of that that is now totally saved and amazed by Jesus. A local radio host at one point got called up by some reform crackhead. And he just got—he was piling on the Jesus thick and deep. And this guy actually was someone who had recently converted over to Eastern Orthodox faith, and it was a life-changing experience for him. So he was somebody of very, very deep faith. But he hung up on the guy, said, "You know what? I'm sick of hearing of people who found Jesus on the bathroom floor at 2 o'clock in the morning."
Right. You know, I don't like to question anyone's faith. But I think that Thomas Kincaid was fully aware of what he was trying to sell, and he was aware of what would sell.
Sure.
You know, he had very, very good technical art skills. Like, okay, I'm not going to go into the whole art geek thing, but he was a good, very good painter.
We'll take your word for it.
Okay. You know, you've seen his paintings. It's not, they're not paintings anyone can do. Let's just put it that way. And I think it was very conscious of what would sell and what would speak to people, especially in sort of like a mass market sort of media thing. You know what I mean?
So was he a better marketer or a better painter?
I think he was equal at both.
Well, let me ask you this way. 100 years from now.
Yes. No.
Are any of his paintings going to be, you know, is he going to be like, no?
Like in the Met? Yeah. No. Uh-uh.
Well, then he was a better marketer.
Let me see if this is what you're getting at, Brita, is mm-hmm. that, I mean, absolutely, truly, I could not sit down and paint a Kincaid painting. But
right.
he was very technically proficient.
Sure.
But he was of little to no vision.
Yes.
His paintings are very technically sound, but are very artistically vapid.
I'm not going to say he was a great painter because he wasn't. You know, he kind of had this impressionistic style. If you compare him to the impressionists, he was not a great impressionist. He was adequate, and it spoke to people, and the colors, people like those sort of colors and make them happy. And it's like he knew exactly what he was doing.
And if you could buy all those prints that he was selling for $25, you know, which is, you know, maybe what they were worth.
Right.
Then I wouldn't have an issue with him.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know. Also, I want to say along the same lines, this is not unusual for any sort of artist. Have you heard of James Patterson, the author? Weird.
Yes.
Patterson?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. James Patterson no longer writes his own books.
Yeah.
Nope. Yep.
And he has come out and said openly that he only wants to make money now.
Yeah.
And what he does is he kind of sketches out an outline
right.
and hands it to his underwriters and says, here, fill in the blanks. And yep. I'm going to put my name on it and we'll all make money.
Yep.
That was the same thing. I'm actually another example of this is Clive Cussler.
Yeah, same thing.
Who I'm a humongous fan of Clive Cussler. And he's not. And Clive Cussler, I consider to be a pulp author, just like.
I loved his early stuff, though.
I mean, I loved all of his stuff, but he was a pulp author.
He wrote
formulaic books, but I enjoyed the formula,
right.
So there's nothing wrong with that.
Dirk Pitt was awesome.
Until Kurt Austin was awesome. I mean, it's just even his later stuff when he came up with the spinoffs were good when they were written by him, but then mm-hmm. suddenly when it was you know. Clive Cussler and Paul Kempkroes or whoever right. else that
some other person wrote it and he put his name.
Just suddenly noticed that, like,
yeah.
Jesus Christ! I mean, these, you know, the you could tell. I mean, the story was a Cussler story, but it was no fun reading about it.
Yeah,
because it was technically horrible.
Yeah, he started doing that. I stopped reading them.
Yep, that's me too. As soon as I see that was actually my father handed me. Two books. One was a Cussler, and there was another one from another author. I forget which one. And it was both author. And my dad said, are you interested in these? I said, well, number one, I mostly like reading off of my Kindle now. And number two, no, I'm not going to read this shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I think we've beaten that one.
So, yeah, so Thomas Kincaid, you're dead, and I'm not going to be missing you.
Yes, but those Chinese painters will keep churning out those
yes, they will.
Prints on canvas.
God love
they'll
it.
They'll keep selling
them. Well, I like Chinese painters because they make my spare ribs nice and crispy.
All right. Well, we got another couple of things to talk about, and then we got a couple more calls to take. And,
you're kidding. Really?
Oh, yeah. People still okay. trying to call in. So
we're going to drag this son of a bitch on to 4 a.m.
No, we're not.
Oh, no.
No, we'll finish up about, you know, in about 15 minutes. But
we have
one more little housekeeping thing we want to talk about.
Okay. Oh, is this me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I had the idea, because I have ideas, that I think that every week, because running a podcast, you always are searching for topics. And I thought one way to have a topic every week and kind of bring in the gun blog community, not necessarily gun blogs, it could be any blog.
Any blog.
Any blog, anything we like, is that we can make a topic every week of a blog post that one of us has read and want to talk about. And we'll link to it and we'll talk about it. And hopefully that blogger will also in turn link to us. And so it'll be kind of like a kind of symbiotic relationship. And we can all like promote each other and have things to talk about. And I think it'll be cool. So every blogger that is listening, I guess, kind of be on the lookout. We might target you.
The mystery blog reader.
It might be you next week. You never know. So keep writing.
Or you.
And,
or even you.
Yeah. And keep writing and make it interesting. And we will talk about you. And then you can blog about us. And it'll be all hunky-dory and good.
Does this mean I need to learn how to read?
Yes.
Yes.
Because you know they all the good books they make into movies.
Our blog posts, weird, your blog posts and Alan's and Jay's, not up for the topics.
Well, of course not.
It has to be someone else.
Well, that and they have to actually blog, which I have a problem with.
Yeah, I don't have a blog, so.
Yeah. Well, you do. You just, it's empty.
Yeah.
Which is like some existential comment on something, but
right.
Anyway.
But anyway, I think it would be fun and kind of get like everybody like talking about each other and paying attention. And woo-hoo. I don't know. I think it'd be cool.
I think it's a great idea.
And yeah, so
the blog post of the week.
We will contact you if you have been chosen to be the blog post of the week.
Maybe.
No, we will. Ooh, we're not going to spring it on you. But yeah.
Watch for the prize patrol one knocking on your door.
I promise it won't be about nail polish.
It might be about nail polish.
I'll talk about nail polish.
Some of those colors are pretty awesome.
Okay. Can I paint your toenails weird?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, next time we are together and it is a situation where I can take my shoes off, I can absolutely paint my toenails.
Oh, my God.
You hear getting
really?
Excited?
I will make one rule, though.
What?
It needs to be more than one color. At the least colorfulness, it needs to be alternating one other, odd, even, odd, even.
Do you have, like, color preferences or...?
The more obnoxious, the better, if I'm going to have my toes painted.
I can do that. That'd be awesome. Will you blog it?
Absolutely.
We'll take pictures of me painting your toenails.
Oh, Lord.
Absolutely. Like I give a shit about such things.
It'd be like, oh, that kind of is rule 34. I don't know. Okay.
All right. Well, we got another caller, at least one. I think we may have another. So let's get these whipped out real quick. And, okay. We'll...
Is it Nancy? It better be Nancy.
I don't know who it is. It's area code 270. Hello, caller. Hello?
Hang up.
Hello, caller. Area code 270. You got about another 5 seconds.
Hang up. Too late.
To say something.
Click. Nope.
It's probably a telemarketer.
Hello. You're on.
Do you recognize my voice?
Oh.
What?
Hello.
Hello?
This is RK.
Hi. How are you?
Hello, Roadkill.
Roadkill. Cool.
How's it going, guys?
I'm glad you hung in there, man.
I'm glad you hung in there. Long time no talk, Roadkill.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm on hiatus for the most part.
I'm sorry.
But,
well, I'm glad you...
Okay. Sorry, Brita. You're on fucking hiatus.
Glad you broke your hiatus to talk to us.
True. Okay.
Let's see here. What were you talking about?
Everything.
Yeah. I have many times thought the Thomas Kincaid puzzle...
Yes. I got a friend who's got a lot of Kincaid puzzles.
Puzzles? Like jigsaw puzzles?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Wow.
Did you pay $250 for it?
These are actually pretty cheap. These are like $6 puzzles.
Okay. Well, see, that's, I think that's a great use of a Kincaid painting.
Especially the terror, if weird story gets out more. I think it's a little scary. I think he needs some help, but still, it's pretty funny.
Well, the whole Kincaid thing is like artist versus illustrator. He was a good illustrator, like, you know, like Norman Rockwell was an illustrator.
Yes.
It's like a kind of a different thing. Never mind. I'm such an art geek. Never mind.
It's okay.
Anyway, I remember you were talking about a header for your site. And mm-hmm. while you were discussing the header for the score report, I had one of my little visions in my head of a parody of the Minority Report replaced with, instead of one nutball insane guy, with Screwy Squirrel from the old Tex Avery cartoons, because it makes so much sense. You guys remember him at all?
No. Who is what squirrel?
Screwy Squirrel.
Screwy Squirrel.
I have to Google this.
Yeah, me
the
too.
Little red squirrel.
To- totally foreign to me. Yeah. Why is that?
I don't know screw either. I know foamy.
Oh, no. I do know. Wait. Yes. I do know.
We're all madly Googling now.
Yeah.
For screwy screw. Oh, I see. Oh, yeah. Okay.
One of the very first pictures that comes out on Google Images is Screw the Squirrel holding a gun to his temple. Nice.
Yes, I see him.
Yeah. Sounds very much like Mr. Cruz.
That'll solve his problems.
Nice.
Yeah, I always remember though about the old cartoons is that I remembered this one where the dog killed himself because he thought he had killed Bugs Bunny. And I'd seen it all while growing up, 100 times, right? Suddenly I watch it about 7 years ago. I see it again, and the part where he shoots himself is edited out.
Oh. Huh.
And I was like, what?
That's kind of like what they did to E.T., where they took out the guns.
Yes.
Oh, that's so dumb.
That was so dumb.
Or making Han.
And they also replaced the black lady's voice in the old Tom and Jerry cartoons, too. And I'm like, that's kind of historic, though, isn't it?
Oops. And I'm wondering if you can still see, like, all the Disney cartoons where the characters are smoking.
I don't know.
Or even better, the ones where the Flintstones cartoons where Barney and Fred go off into the backyard and start smoking Winston cigarettes.
Ooh!
Do they still run Andy Cap in the newspaper?
I don't think so.
Andy Cap, the drunk wife abuser. What was that about?
Yeah.
I don't.
It's funny.
That's hilarious.
I think it was a way to try to get people to sell hot fries, because otherwise no one's going to eat that shit.
Could be.
But I like hot and spicy food, and that's just garbage.
Mm. So, Roadkill.
You have high standards.
You've yes. bought any good knives lately?
One. I picked up a Merco Warning for about $17 from Blade HQ, and I have fallen in love with it.
Oh, fallen in love.
It is an exceptionally good knife for the price. Mm. Is a nasty cutter. I talked to one of the Spyderco forums' most infamous guys, Dr. Snubnose. He's an actual martial arts trainer and trained professional security and police and military and crap. He knows how to kill people with stuff. And he did meat tests on it, and he said that it had the cutting power of a $100 Spyderco called the Yojimbo. And it was only $15.
Nice.
Send me the link.
Yeah, send Brita a link.
Send me the link, please.
Because Brita's got some hobo meat she needs to cut up.
I love it. Sharpens up easy. And I will. I will send you the link.
Excellent.
I will. Supposedly, they're going to have a new updated version come out sometime soon.
Does it have a sheath or a belt clip or what?
It comes with a sheath with a belt clip.
Ooh. Okay.
Cool.
I can't say it's perfect, but it works pretty well. I've carried it on my left side a lot, and I've also used it. It's not as good for my normal pocket carry, but it's pretty nice. And I have tested it in the kitchen several times.
Huh.
Sharpened up, the thing slides through steak like it wasn't there. Cuts up potatoes, so it's a little too short for it. And onions and everything else. And I've used it on boxes. I've used it on all kinds of stuff. And it's a nice little small fixed blade.
It's a fixed blade. It's not a folder.
It's a fixed blade. It's a small fixed blade. It's got
definitely send me the link. I would love to see that.
She needs to put a couple of drain holes in Snotman.
Yeah, he's been very... Snotman has been very... agitated lately, what with the Ron Paul and the healthcare and the weather. Oh my God, he was freaking out about the weather the other day because it was really warm in March. He was coming up about that. So yeah, Yes, please send me the link to the stabby things.
The stabby things.
Not a problem, sir. I know you love your small stabbies and whatnot.
I do.
Posted one link in the room.
Okay, let me look.
But I'm pretty much, I'm not a gun blogger. I'm a knife blogger.
Yeah, you are.
But I'm the knife guy. Because knives are so much cheaper than guns are. It's easier to collect a lot of knives.
Is that kind of like a Tanto blade?
It would be a, it would, it's a, it's a Warncliffe.
Huh.
Now, I've got a question for you, Roadkill, because you would probably know this, because I've since got like a bunch of well, do we have to call them Tonto blades? Can we just call them chisel tips again?
Okay.
But what is the purpose of a blade with a chisel tip versus a blade with a conventional curved tip?
You mean the second point on it on an American Tonto?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Let's say you've got like, let's talk about like a Columbia River M16. They make them in both with a drop point and a Tonto point. What would be the advantage? Why would I get a Tonto point outside of because I like the looks of it?
Well, actually, it's not a true Tonto. It's an American Tonto. A traditional Asian Tonto is a curve. Or the point is not as pronounced. It's severely unpronounced. I think it's just really a stylized thing. It really doesn't make it more useful in any situation that I can think of. Because, honestly, curves cut. Curves are what make it better to do a draw cut, what make it better to do slicing. The point is harder to sharpen and whatnot. The only thing I could maybe think of is that it's better scraper. Because it has that edge there is at a better point for scraping stuff. You'll have more control scraping it than just using the normal belly of your blade.
Mm-hmm. See, I told you Score Report was educational.
It's mainly just cosmetic. It looks cool. And it does look cool.
Let's
stack our doors with it.
Well, the point's stronger, isn't it?
Not really necessarily. It's not really so much a function of the belly. It's the geometries behind it on the spine and in the rest of the blade. I mean, you could take one of those and you could round the tip. I mean, round it out to a normal curve. And it wouldn't change anything, really. Or at least that's the way I'm getting it. Knives are kind of funny. You know, it's one of the most mature technologies in the entire world.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we've had knives since we had rocks. We've had the sharp edge. So it's always changing and developing, and it's kind of really fascinating.
And it's also really neat that, you know, we've had knives for this long, and people are still producing those weird fantasy knives that are just completely worthless.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not like it's been any different any other time in history. They've constantly been trying and testing and experimenting different knife designs with every material that has ever been. And we're going to keep doing it because we keep finding combinations that work well for something, and then we get new materials that allow a combination of attributes to work whereas they couldn't work before.
Well, there's also a lot of advances in materials and whatnot. You know, better steel, better, you know, whatever.
I mean, junk plastics, cheap plastics have done massive things for knives, just as well as they have, you know, guns and stuff. Because, well, I mean, one time, the Carta and G10 were all considered kind of junk, and suddenly somebody picked up, hey, these make really good handles. And then someone later on said, hey, these make good handles on knives. Let's try them on guns.
Woohoo!
And so on. I get more excited when I talk about stuff I actually know.
Yay! Yeah, that's okay. Why I always sound not so excited because I don't know anything.
Well, thanks for calling, Roadkill. We're going to wrap up and
I think so.
And
2 hours.
You are the last call. I don't think nobody else is trying to call in, so you're it.
Excellent. Thanks for calling in, Roadkill. It was good to hear from you.
No problem. Show up in IRC a little more often, Rita.
And, yes, sir. I will.
Miss you.
And I miss you, too.
Aww.
We
miss you as well.
Okay.
We miss you because you have a sexy ass. That's right, Alan. When you let us gut, I feel a little queer.
Well, I'm glad somebody appreciates it.
All right, let's move on.
All right. Thanks, Roadkill. See you later. Ooh.
Okay, then.
All right.
Excellent. On that note.
Yeah, let's end.
Okay.
I think we've, according to my sources, I think we peaked out. I'll have to check this, but it looks like we peaked out at 27.
Very
listeners.
Cool.
Of course, we're down to 16 now, so I think
people
gave up.
People gave up. It's late.
Yep. All right. Well, guess I'll see y'all next week.
Okay.
Woohoo!
Thanks, Weird,
and
for showing up finally.
Maybe we'll have everybody on next week.
That'd be nice. That would be nice. Weird, are you going to be with us next week?
I believe so. At the end of the...
Weird.
The last weekend of the month, I'm out of town.
Well, hopefully we'll have everybody, and Jay can tell us about St. Louis, because we're all missing the NRA convention this year, except for Jay. I'm sad about it, but I'm sure Jay will fill us in next week. Apparently he tried to call in a number of times tonight and
I saw him pop up on Skype a couple of times, and he never...
I don't know.
He never answered, and then I never had a call on the phone, so I don't know.
Well, whatever. Anyway,
phones are hard for Jay.
Yeah, next week.
All right.
This will be fun.
Well, bye, y'all.
Good night, everybody.
See ya.
Night.
Woohoo.